the name of this, or the title of this message, is 12 Dimensions of a Remnant Set Apart. And I kept praying and asking the Lord, what's the title? I didn't know. I just knew what he had shown me. So I'm just going to give you, I'm going to go to the second slide here and kind of give you an overview of where we're going to go. There we go. It's the down arrow instead of the up arrow. Okay. So I'm going to first of all give you a little bit of background of how the Lord revealed these things to me. Today, the basic information is probably not new to anyone. It's a different perspective. And the Lord wants you to walk out today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt who you are, your identity. As I said a few months ago, I had a quick word up here and I said, because the Lord had spoken to me and he said, the world is all confused about their identity right now. But my people are not confused.
That's right.
And I'm going to make sure they know who they are in me. And so this is what it's all about. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And then I looked up the word remnant because people use so many different terms that mean so many different things. But remnant, the called out of the called out ones. But the remnant, that which remains of an original body, I could look on here, duh. It's in reference to God's people, but of an original body or substance, in reference to God's people, those who are faithful to his original truth, despite apostasy and opposition, Isaiah 1:9, Romans 9:27, and Romans 11:15. So I want to talk about our true identity, that how we must be equally yoked, operating in resurrection power with kingdom authority.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what God wants. That's who we are.
Yes.
We have a job to do, and that's what we must do. So to go back, a little over 3 years ago, my husband was still alive. I was sitting in our home gathering, and all of a sudden, you know, our God is a God of suddenlies. He asked me this question, or he posed this to me, and he said, I've already given you the keys to unlock and walk in kingdom authority. Why do you not use them? And I began to contemplate about that and go, well, first of all, Lord, what are the keys, or what's, you know, tell me about kingdom authority. And so over the years, I've thought about it a lot. But then, as many of you know, my husband got sick and I became his caretaker, so that had to be put on the shelf for just a little bit. But then, praise the Lord, on February 16th, last year, this has been going on for a year now, almost a year. So due to the circumstances, I couldn't really dig in, but on February 16th, 2003, after my beloved transitioned to heaven to perform his function in the heavenly realm, my journey really began, and the Lord truly became my husbandman. I had no idea what that meant. We know about it. We hear about it.
Yep.
It's in the Word. Well, I began to experience that.
Wow.
And because I was a widow, and God says, I will take care of the widows. And he does a really amazing, phenomenal job of taking care of me. That's all I have to say about that. So this is when my journey began, and God began to enlarge my vision. I would pray, Lord, enlarge my heart, enlarge my vision. I want to know more. I want to go into those deep, intimate places with you. I was no longer Don Tuggle's wife. I was Pam Tuggle. And I know that may sound funny, but that's significant. And I loved being his wife. And we were very equally yoked. And it was wonderful. But I now am Pam Tuggle, who God has a destiny for, that he is showing me how to walk in the ways toward that destiny. So, and he said, I want you to fulfill your destiny. So then the last part is we have some specific assignments.
Yes.
And so at the end, you already know most of them, But at the end, I'm going to put out a challenge.
Good.
So this is what the Lord began to speak to me back in February of last year. And I'm going to say it just like he made me write it in my journal, because it's more powerful that way. He said, the cross, as critical and divinely and imperative as it was in your life, and I don't want you to ever forget and honor the cross and when you gave your life to me, ever. Remember it always, but do not dwell there. He said, I must walk in resurrection power. And that's where the victory life, the victorious life is. He said, you can have kingdom living on the earth, contrary to what some people may teach. You can walk in victory. And that's what I want you to do, to march toward the high call and to fulfill your destiny. That's what God wants you all to do. That's what he wants all of us to do, because we have some big stuff to accomplish while we're here. He told me, he said, I have 12 dimensions or 12 keys that you must embody. I've already given them to you. You already have the kingdom authority because of my son Jesus. But I want you to live in resurrection life, a victory, with that kingdom authority every day.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, do you not know that I am a multidimensional God? And I wasn't sure about that, because I thought that's kind of a worldly term coming out of education, like multidimensional. So, but he told me this very specifically. I am your Abba. I am your Papa. And my son is a perfect demonstration of who I am. You must cling to him like never before. He is also multidimensional. In my presence, there is no time or space. You are created in my likeness, even though you only experience living in 2 to 3 dimensions.
That's right.
That is going to change.
Yeah!
That's what he told me. And so I listened to Melinda's teaching from a few weeks ago.
See you there.
And it was amazing, because what I had to bring was very, not similar, but it was building upon that.
Yeah.
Our true identity, there's no male or female in God's economy, in the heavenly economy.
Yeah.
That those are roles that he gave, yes. But there are many female and male attributes in both our God and in Jesus. And she taught that so beautifully. I wasn't here. I was sick that day, but I went back and listened to it. And I'm like, that's what you told me too, Lord. Wow. And so he said that, and in Galatians 3:28, it actually talks about that. Then the Lord explained to me what equally yoked meant. We always think we need to be equally yoked in a marriage. And it tells us we need to be equally yoked. And I have to tell you, some of you might go, oh, really, Pam? I experienced it. I really did. Contrary to whatever people might think or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. I'm worried about what God thinks. I want the applause of one.
Right.
And that's my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
But what it means, it refers to relationship, and the literal meaning means joined with the same for the purpose of working together to accomplish something. And it's referenced in the word in Corinthians 6:14. And so I begin to go into the multi-dimension, the equally yoked. And to be transparent with you, I had a marriage before Don, someone I knew from the time I was 12 years old. Everyone thought, oh, you just fit together perfectly. We were both Christians. I led him to the Lord. We were not equally yoked. So the Lord began to show me that even in a Christian marriage, if you don't have one heart and one mind, and you're set on the things of the Lord in similar ways, but yet different. Now, go explain that, because we need that complementary to each other. We're not equally yoked. And I knew the difference, because I understood being in a marriage where I wasn't equally yoked, and it was really hard. Even though I loved him, still love him to this day. I know his family, love him. He's father of my children. We have grandchildren together. We get together often with our big family, and I love him. But I was not equally yoked spiritually with him.
Yep.
Don Tuggle, I was equally yoked with him. So yeah. I knew the difference. And I'm telling you, there's a major difference. So how is, what is the evidence of the multi-dimensions of God? Let me see what I wrote down for the definition of multi-dimension. Dimensions, I think, well, I'll get to that. Let's just go look. When I asked the Lord, I said, what do you mean you're multi-dimensional? And this is what he... God is known by a few hundred names. Just a few hundred, right? He is multidimensional. Here are just a few powerful Hebrew names of God. And you have a handout, so I'm not going to read them all. I'll just put them up there. I mean, I could have put this on how many pieces of paper or how many slides. These are just the Hebrew names. So by the time I finish with this, I'm hoping you're going, wow, our God is multidimensional. And then I gave the scripture reference for each one. Because I was learning about, what does it really mean? Okay, and then next, guess who else is multidimensional? Names for Jesus. There's over 200 names for Jesus in the Bible. So I'm just going to put those up there. And guess what? Our Abba, our Father, wants us to experience and know every single dimension of who He is and who His Son, Jesus Christ, is. There's a lot of them. I only put like 2 pages worth. Where does that take us to? The Lord began to show me, after He showed me how multidimensional He really is. And that's all in the spirit realm. And again, when we operate in two dimensions on paper and in our life, 3 dimensions, can you imagine? And He wants us to become like Him. So all of this led to me asking God lots of questions and wanting to know more about my identity and what He meant about being multidimensional. So He told me, you must understand and believe your true identity. So I'm here to say that. You have to know your true identity. Your identity is not, we have identities and roles on the earth, yes, but identity is not, oh, I'm Don Tuggle's wife, or oh, I was a teacher, or I'm this. I want to know my identity of who I am in Christ. Amen. That's where we must know. Amen. That's what it's going to take for us to do the work that He wants us to do here on the earth. Yes. Then He told me, I want you to walk in that identity. Amen. Now, I don't know how. I said, Lord, I don't quite know how to walk in this identity, the one that You chose for me, the destiny that You have for me. And He said, I will do it for you. I will do it for you. And we just have to be willing to ask questions and to wait and listen for His answers. That's one thing I really learned was I would ask God all kinds of questions the day Don passed away. And ever since that day, I ask questions. Doesn't mean He shows it to me right away. But then all of a sudden, there will become a suddenly, and it'll be like, oh, that's the answer to that question. Yeah. And then sometimes it might be an hour later. But a lot of times He makes me ask a few times. I guess He wants to see how hungry I am. So we must walk in our identity. And in Galatians 3:8, it says, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ. That's who we are. We are a people who is one in Christ. It doesn't mean there's not roles or positions. And so as Melinda so beautifully taught a few weeks ago, that there are both male and female attributes in Scripture, so I'm not going to go over those, that identify God and his son Jesus. And I know that I said, well, Lord, you know, male and females, I know for procreation. And he said, yes, but he also gave me Ephesians 5:21-33. We are to submit one to another in Christ because our love and reverence for Jesus. So he wants us to become one. And yes, God is a God of order. He ordains positions. I know people say, oh, he ordains people. No, he ordains positions. That's what he showed me. And I don't know, because I know we have lots of Bible scholars in here. He said, I anoint people, but I ordain positions. And so, but he says that being the called out of the called out ones, being the bride of Jesus Christ, being the Lamb's wife is a position. And I will anoint you, change you for that position. And so I said, but Lord, in the past I was taught that it's a special group of people. And he said, no, it's open. It's an invitation open to all who will.
Yes.
Okay, let me make sure I'm following this. And then the Lord also spoke to me and said, I want my son, who I love so much, to have the most perfect and anointed helpmate, who will be a complement to him, to become the Lamb's wife. He showed me that we must be equally yoked. And I said, Lord, Jesus is your son. How could I ever be equally yoked to him? And he said, you are equal in value. We are all one in Christ. We are equal in value to God. We have a different role, a different position, a different job, but we're all equal in value to the Lord. The same with, because I know it's easier for women to think about the attributes of a bride than a man sometimes. But the Lord began to show me that there's no differentiation between male and female.
That's right.
That is about value. It's all about our value to him.
Amen.
And I think Melinda even brought that up. When I heard her what she spoke on that day, I was completely elated. I thought, wow, Lord, you are speaking lots of things to different people. So the next slide is, I know this has been short and sweet, but we have seen today Yahweh is a multidimensional God. And dimensions as a noun, he's multidimensional. So dimensions as a noun is a measurable extent of some kind, such as length, breadth, depth, and height. And I was like, wow, Lord. And he talks to us in his word about the depth and the length and the height, that his love knows no bounds. And so when I saw that definition, then I'm like, and now you're multidimensional? So as we've seen today, briefly, Yahweh is a multidimensional God. Jesus is the image of his Father, therefore he is multidimensional. We are created in the image of our Abba, our heavenly Papa, and he wants the perfect bride for his son, one who is equally yoked. And remember, equally yoked means, I'll go back and tell you, it refers to relationship. The literal meaning is you are joined with the same for the purpose of working together to accomplish something.
Yes.
So when I saw that, I was like, that's how I can be equally yoked to Jesus, because I will be joined with him to accomplish a purpose. And so, even though there are many more dimensions, and the Lord very clearly told me, I'm not limited to 12 dimensions. He's massive dimensions that we don't even know about. But He said he wants the perfect bride for his son, one who is equally yoked and one who embodies the divine attributes to hold the position of the Lamb's wife. Even though there are many more dimensions to our Heavenly Father and our Savior, his only begotten Son and our beloved, here are 12 dimensions God has revealed to me for us to operate in kingdom authority as we have matured and are becoming the bride of Jesus Christ. And it is an open invitation
Amen.
For all who will.
Amen.
And those were his words to me. So I'm going to just go over them. He gave them to me one at a time. So it took almost a year to get all 12.
Wow.
I know, isn't that cool? So I'm going to tell you some of the words that he gave me as he gave them to me, each one. The power to perform miracles. He said, you will be performing miracles, and you already have, both seen and unseen. He said, of course there's obvious miracles, but also there are some you have not seen as the result of seeds you have planted
right.
in faith that produced miracles that you don't even know about.
That's right.
And he said, I am the one who gives the miracles, and I am the one who gives the increase.
Amen.
We just have to be obedient to do what he tells us to do. And if we walk away and that person didn't give their life to the Lord, or that person didn't get healed at that moment, we don't know. God is the one that's in charge of that.
Amen.
The next one, power and praise, authority in praising Jesus.
Yes.
He began to show me that that every time we praise the Lord, every time we pray in authority, every time we praise him, there is victory that leads to true worship. It's almost like we have to get into that attitude of praise so our worship can be acceptable in the throne room of heaven.
Yes.
Now, as we mature, it happens quicker and quicker. I mean, I can remember in my younger days, I feel like, oh, I had to praise him at least 20 minutes, and then the next 20 minutes I can worship. No, that's not true. That's just being in a legalistic church that I went to in Texas. But, thank you. But that's what he showed me, that there's tremendous power and authority in praise. The next one was the power of worship. Worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth. And he told me that, he said, do you know that I love to be worshiped by you? Do you know that our Father absolutely adores when we
That's
worship
right.
him? And especially when we worship him in spirit and in truth. And then number four was the power of speaking in tongues. And the Lord did speak to me about that and said, I'm really sad that there are some churches that discount this, because there's tremendous power in praying corporately and individually in tongues. And as we all know, there's been scientific proof that it affects our physical body as well. So, I mean, there's been proof of that for quite a few years now. And he just said, there is tremendous power that you have to tap into, and all you have to do is pray in tongues. So as a corporate church, if we prayed in tongues for 10 minutes, boy, we can call down, or 5 minutes, or whatever it is that the Lord leads us. We are calling down all of heaven to where we are in tongues.
Yeah.
And then there's power in agape holy love. He wants us to be a demonstration of it.
Yes.
And he gave me those words. So... I know some people might go, ooh, ah, about that, but he wants us to be a demonstration of his love
yes.
in every way. And I can't do that in my own strength.
That's right.
I can't do
that's
that in my own thinking. So that's where we just have to rest and let him do it through
yeah.
us. But he definitely wants us to be, and he said, I want you to saturate yourself in my love. So you can be an expression of me extended to all who you come across their path. This morning, we were saturated in his love.
That's right.
We got saturated. And so there's so many different ways that we can just bask and be saturated in his love. And every time we do that, when we walk out into the marketplace, we're going to be different.
Amen.
Than if we were to just go out there without thinking about it. I want to be soaked and saturated in His love.
Yes.
I can be a demonstration. And then He also said, there's power in praying my word and praying without ceasing. And of course, that there's scripture to that. But He began to show me about how important it is to pray His word. Because His word will not return void.
That's right.
And I know we all know that. But these are the dimensions He wants us walking in today as we leave. But He also doesn't want you to sit there and try to figure out how to do it. He's going to do it in us and through us.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 7 is power. This is a big one. Let me find where my notes are. Power in forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
He told me very clearly to forgive quickly and to also forgive yourself. He said, too many of my people walk around in condemnation because they haven't forgiven themselves.
Yeah.
And He wants us to be free.
Yeah.
And that we are to not hold any offense. So that's important. That's very important to continue to move throughout all of these dimensions.
Amen.
Okay, get ready for this one. Because He told me some very specific things. Unity. He wants us to be one.
Amen.
And this is what He told me, so I'm going to tell you what He said to me, and you take it for what it's worth. He said, I want you to lay down some of the doctrines you have held fast to and some of the traditions that you didn't realize were traditions of man, and let me put things back in you.
Yeah.
He wants to recreate us from all the past. And that's when the Lord began to show me the wells, when I said, and I think I shared that one time here. He said, I have provided wells of living water for you all the way back to when I gave my life to the Lord at age 16. And because I was like, what about that when I did this? What about I moved here and things just blew up? What about that? What about that? I mean, I was just reflecting over everything. I'm sure none of you do that. It's like, I didn't do that so well. What about that, you know? And the Lord said, I have been with you all the way. Those wells are dried up. Do not return to those wells. I have new wells of fresh and living water that I want to pour out over you. And I saw in the spirit a whole line of wells. It was like, oh, I could go back to that one. He said, no, you can't. Do not. He said, those are in the past. Leave it.
Yep.
And then He said, and you are not to have any condemnation whatsoever from any of what was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that's what you must do. In order for us to be in unity, we might have to lay down some things. Well, there's no might. He told me some very specific things I need to lay down. And He did tell me, He said, I don't want you to give up what you truly believe and you know is from me, but do not let it be a contentious thing in unity of my people.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Lord, okay. And there was quite a few things that He asked me to lay down. And there was a few of those things that He said, that is truth, but don't go in to a group of people thinking you know everything because you have a little piece of my truth. And in the body of Christ, that seems to happen sometimes. You have, oh, the scholar. Because I'll tell you, I have felt that way. I hear from the Holy Spirit. I hear from God through the Spirit. My husband knew the Bible like there was no tomorrow. He could say chapter and verse, and I have to ask my phone, can you go look up such and such? But then all of a sudden, He'll speak to me in the spirit realm. So we were a complement to each other.
Yeah.
So it's not that I needed to know every chapter and verse. Yes, I think we need to memorize scripture because there's going to come a time that we won't have our phones probably, and we might not even have Bibles. And yes, I'll be glad not to have that phone. For the power of unity, the Lord, I've often said, Lord, if all the Christian people would quit being against each other and we could join together as one.
Right.
We could change this whole nation.
That's right.
I really believe we could.
Yeah.
It's like, so, but we all would have to, doesn't mean we don't hold it in our hearts, but we all have to lay down some things. And then ask him, Lord, you put back in me what you want in me and what you want me to know. And then the power of giving. And he spoke to me some very specific things. And I shared something a few months ago about this. But he told me, he said, you know, and God talks to me. It's so sweet. The Holy Spirit talks to me like we're just like good friends. Because we are. Because I ask him lots of questions. You can never outgive me. And he said, and by the way, I do love a cheerful giver. He said, I want you to give of your heart fully. Giving is in different ways. I want you to give of your talents. I want you to give of your gifts and callings. I want you to give of your time. And of course, I want you to give of your love. That's very important. And he said, and I'm not as concerned about how much money you give me. Just do what I put in your heart to give.
Yeah.
So I know that might blow some people's theology from the Old Testament, but the Lord said, I want you. I always pray and say, Lord, how much should I give? Sometimes it's more than 10%, and sometimes it's less. Sometimes it's when he tells me, and I'm like, wow, that much? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, I'll obey, because we can never outgive God. And he just said, I want you to be a giver. He wants us to walk in that beauty of giving, because guess what? We are going to just get all the rewards of that. He said there's power of walking in resurrection victory. We're not on the cross. Jesus isn't on the cross anymore.
Right.
And I know lots of churches, that's their focus. I've been to some in California where my son, and he go, Mom, I just don't like this church because, you know, and I'm like, I know, I understand. And so now they're in a different church, but it's like, tell me about the cross a million times, but can we move on beyond it and go to what Jesus did? He was resurrected. So he wants us to walk in that resurrection power.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I mean, yes. And he began to show me that so clearly that I'm like, I'm so sorry that I haven't done that quite as well. You're going to have to show me. And he said, don't worry, I will. So, number 11. Now, this is, I also spoke about this probably almost a year ago. The power to create wealth. First of all, in the spirit. Second of all, in the soul. And then in our finances. The Lord spoke to me one day and said, I'm looking for a people that I can trust.
Yeah.
He said that you can create wealth. I want the wealth to dwell in your spirit. I want you to be wealthy in my spirit. And then he said, once you're wealthy in my spirit, will come wealth in the soul. That's where you can be healed. That's where you can walk without pain. I mean, that's where the little thorns of the heart and just so many things about wealth in our soul. But we have to be wealthy in the spirit first so that we can move on to those things in our soul. And then he said, but I'm looking for a people that I can trust for me to give finances to, because I know they'll turn around and give it back the body of Christ, into the kingdom building. He didn't say the church.
That's right.
He said, in building my kingdom.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, Lord. So he gives us, that's one of the things he wants us to walk in right now, is to get wealthy in our spirit. Spend time with him. Spend rich times in worship. Be soaking in the presence of God. And then in our soul, as we prosper, our soul will prosper. And then the finances will always come. He is not going to forget what we need. And I'm just telling you from personal testimony that when I retired, I was nervous, because I'm like, because my salary was way bigger than my retirement salary, I can tell you that. And I was like, how are we going to live? Dawn was sick. I mean, you know, there was things going on. And I'm like, but I'm just telling you what, I have had more than enough.
Come on.
More than enough.
Come on.
Every single time.
Come on.
I don't know how to explain it, but I have had more than enough.
Jesus.
And I just thank him for it.
Yeah.
So we need to walk in that power to create that wealth of who we are in Christ Jesus. And then the 12th one, and he just actually just gave me this one about 2 months ago, because I kept thinking, Lord, when's the 12th one going to come? You told me there was 12. When is it going to come? And one day it just dropped on me. He said, you have no idea how much power there is in declaring and decreeing. And he said, and you don't do it enough. And I'm like, whoa, okay. He said, you do not do it enough. God wants us to, he said, there is power in your words.
Yes.
And so we have to be very cognizant of what we pray, what we say, what we declare, and what we decree. Because God says, you do that, I will do it. I'm just telling you what he said.
Amen. Thank you.
So those were the 12, even though there's more than 12 dimensions that he wants us, but I think he probably thought, this is about all you can handle while you're on the earth. I think. Okay, I'm just going to read just a couple more things, and then I'll put the challenge to you. So this is, I wrote down his words to me, because I keep a little journal and write them down, because his words are so sweet. And he says things that make total sense. I mean, I'm like, wow. This was pretty clear. He said, I want my called out ones to be multidimensional, and I want them to be in season and out of season in an instant. I want them to be able to walk victoriously in their gifts and callings that I have sent for them. I want them to be able to walk in the Spirit at any time. God said that he has given all the gifts and the ability to operate in them as the Holy Spirit prompts us, that we must be obedient. He said, I want you to be ready at any time to operate. Okay, this is going to blow some people's minds. I'm just reading what he said to me. The fivefold ministry.
Yes.
I'm just telling you. He said, as I prompt you and move upon you.
That's right.
The Lord said, I want my son to be married for all eternity to a multidimensional bride, because there is much to do. I want you to enter into the heavenly realm and dwell there with me for a while. Don't be in such a hurry.
Yes.
We're older. Then I asked the Lord, can we really do that? Can I really dwell in that heavenly realm for a while? And how do I do that? And he reminded me, while here on earth, that he has taken me into that heavenly realm a few times. One time I was sitting next to Kathy. I don't know if you remember. And I was in a wheat field that was just blowing, and Jesus was just running to me. I was sitting there. And then as we came back, we were in our meeting at Claudia and Kelvin's house. And Kathy said, did anybody feel that wind that was blowing through there? Do you remember that? And I'm like, yes, I was in that wind.
Come on.
And I'm like, shit, the wind. Oh, wow. That was real. That wasn't my imagination. Anyway, so this is what he said. He said, here on earth, I have put many portals where the heavens are opened. And I know you understand about this a little bit. I want you to come and enter into them. But I want you to always be faithful to testify of your experience. Regardless of what others may think or if others judge you, I will deal with their hearts.
Yes.
That's what he said. He said, I want you to operate in kingdom authority. I want you to be a lover of souls, a warrior. I want you to stand up to rebellion. I want you to be the remnant, and I want you to get ready to be my son's perfect bride.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
So there's, if you have a handout, there's just all the different scripture references on the 12 because I looked them all up to make sure. I'm like, I know they're in the Bible somewhere, or you wouldn't have given them to me, Lord. But inclusion, in conclusion, I said, Lord, what do I say at the end of all this? And he gave me the scripture of Acts 7:28. He said, now this is the Aramaic Bible translation, which I liked how it said it. For it is by him that we have life, and we move and exist. So also some of the wise men among you have said, our lineage is from him.
Yes.
That's who we are. That is our lineage. We are from him. And the Lord said, I want you to recognize your true identity. You are the remnant, the called out of the called out ones, the ecclesia, the essential and significant, which is essential and significant in the position of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may disagree, but he showed me clearly the bride of Christ is a position. And he said, you have positional power in the spirit, and you must be in season and out of season in an instant, operating in all of the gifts with kingdom authority. We are multidimensional, and we must be equally yoked with our beloved bridegroom, Yeshua. We have a lot to do and accomplish in the present, but also in the near future, because I could see down the road that there's a lot we're going to be involved in, a lot we're going to be doing. And then into eternity, our position and jobs don't stop just because we go to heaven. They're very busy up there. Yes. I mean, I had a true vision of beyond the veil at one time, and they were busy over there. And I was sharing this with Chris last night, and Jesus, there was a whole bunch of people with me, were looking, and was like, well, they're so happy, they're laughing. You know, they wouldn't open the curtain for us to see, but it was kind of one you could sort of see through. They were busy. It was happy. It was loud. They were working. They were busy. And then Jesus opened the curtain and he looked. And I felt like he was looking straight at me, but I think everyone with me felt like he was looking straight at them. Mm-hmm. And he said, I see you.
Yes.
So the Lord wants you to know he sees you.
Yep.
And he wants to see you in the identity that he has given you. Not in the identity of what the world might say. I mean, my identity for so long was my job. I mean, I've always been a Christian, but for a long time. But, you know, we get ourselves embedded in the wrong identities. And
right.
God has finally said to me, my daughter, it is time for you to walk in the identity I have given you.
That's right.
Yes.
Know what the world says. Know what you did professionally. Yes, he was with me all those years, and he gave me the ability. I mean, he gave me the gift of administration. I know that. I don't like it, but I know that. I'm just saying. But he said, that's what he wants us to do. Now is the time.
Yes.
It really is. And so he spoke to me again, and I didn't put it on the slide, but he said, you cannot settle. So I was saying, we cannot settle. We cannot be status quo in the church or in the position we think God has brought us in. So our final quest, and again, I don't know people's theology around here, so because there's lots of stuff out there. Our final quest before we are harpazoed, caught away, to be seized, snatched, and carried away, is to be an active demonstration of the essence of our God, to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ, and to forcefully deliver a death blow to this beast system that we have known about for so long, but now we're watching it in our very eyes. We're watching it as it's happening. And he said, are you ready? Who are you? Are you ready to acknowledge your identity, your gifts, and your callings, and become activated to move forward in this mighty last day move?
Amen.
So my challenge to you is ask him.
Yes.
I just started asking questions, not really expecting lots of answers all the time, but man, they started coming, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And I just need to write them all down because like I said, the day Dom passed away, I asked God several questions, and he answered them that day. And it was amazing. I'm just like, wow. And from that day forward, he has dropped things on me. Sometimes I expect, you know, but like sometimes I'm driving in the car, just minding my own business, going to wherever I think I'm supposed to be going, and all of a sudden, bam. And I'm like, Lord, why did you do that? Now I can't write it down.
Yes.
And he says, talk into your phone. I'm like, okay. So, anyway. That's who we're, that's where we're headed.
Yes.
So thank you so much for letting me speak to you today. I really appreciate how much you all love me and accept me. And I love being here with you. Thank you so much. Should I take my glasses off? Because they might come off.
Yeah,
they're
here, right here.
Let me just take this out. I should take my glasses off.
Yeah, pardon this interruption.
Continuation.
We love it.
Continuation. Thank you.
You take your liver,
Roger. Oh, I'm gonna. All right. No, not to be funny or anything. There is something that God has given me, and I exercise it from time to time, and you've seen this before. But when you were speaking, and then when you were singing, I've been tracking the theme of the service, and there were angels that were ready to do their work.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you can identify with that, but there was also a cup that was being passed. That's the best way I can describe it.
Ah.
You know, it's very easy to pick up a sword.
Yes.
Oh, come on, we gotta, you know, it's very easy for a lot of people to do that. It is harder, and I don't understand all the reasons why, to accept the cup of wine that the Lord wants to give us.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
For whatever reasons. And, well, I'm not worthy, and I'm not deserving, and all that business.
We
but
accept.
That's what was being passed today in the intimacy. But there was also there's also an impartation that you both have, and I want you to speak into that. Right now, I just feel like that the woman that I just need to touch the hem of your garment. The things that you were saying and doing, I said, I want that. You see, that woman would not be denied. You see, I just feel like I'm not going to be denied.
Come on.
Not anymore. So number 12 of the 12... I would love if you both would just decree into us, speak into us, because here's the other thing, and I know you'll agree with me, they both have power.
Yes.
I've felt it, experienced it. And here's the other thing, we're on a pivot right now.
Yes,
can you feel it?
Yes, we are.
We're pivoting.
Yeah.
And this is just one message of the series that we're getting. It's like,
right.
Whoa, right?
That's right.
But you're going to hear this again and again, and that's great, okay? Because we need to hear this.
Yes.
But we also need, as she said, to speak it.
Yes.
This is material that we should be really sinking our teeth into and really chewing on. I felt that it was so important. And I felt I was getting activated there, and I was just holding it back, you must release this on us.
Yes.
And I have faith that things will be different and change in us. So take your liberty and speak whatever it is that the Lord wants to do. See, I can already feel it. It's already there. You're already being empowered to do this.
Wow. We receive.
Is this on?
Your hand should be out there ready to go out here.
I just want to release a maturity in our worship and our praise in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak that over this people, God, that we would be able to focus in our worship and in our praise of you, God, that we would be 100% dedicated to the task of worshiping you, Lord, of living in a place where we are emptying ourselves before you, God, because we trust you. We trust you. When we come and expose ourselves to you, Lord, we trust that you will fill us with everything we need. Lord, you long to spend time. You long to equip us during our worship. It is not an idle thing. It is not a thing we do by rote. We come to you to pour ourselves out, God, to sit at your feet, to focus. That's what we want. We want a hyper focus on you, God, like never before. There are new places. There are so many new places. I'm in a new place than I was 6 weeks ago. I feel it. When I lead worship, I didn't do anything. God, you did the work. Lord, so I just pray it's a maturity in worship. We could sit there at your feet for hours, God, because you built that muscle in us, Lord. Lord, I just pray a complete release over these people, God. We are not going to be hindered by old age. No. No. We can still sing as long as there's breath in our lungs, God. We will lift you up. We will walk in praise. We will war in worship. Because that's what makes us strong, Lord. We know it comes from you. We receive. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We just want to be in the anointing so that we can step into our position. It's amazing. Think on it. Think about it. Just think about it.
We are. And we are receiving.
We are because he is I am, right? Lord, I just declare and decree right now this cup of new wine that is being poured out not only over us, but we're also drinking it in at the same time. A release of your new wine. Lord, there has been little drops of new wine here and there. This is a cup full. Thank you, Lord. And we want to continue to come and drink and drink and drink and drink of your new wine. Thank you, Lord. So I declare and decree the power of the new wine over us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I also declare and decree that we will walk in our true identity. That we will believe what you say and who you say we are. No more discussion, no more arguing, no more doubt. I declare and decree right now that every person in here will begin to walk in every single part of the calling you have for them, that the gifts of the Spirit will be stirred up among all of us, Lord, that we will go out of these doors into the marketplace with your anointing, with your words that come forth. Thank you, Lord, that I declare and decree that we will be a demonstration of your love, Father. Our Abba, our Papa, we want to be an extension of your love.
Yes, Lord, we're going to release that love. I mean, that is so key. Lord, I just pray that your love covers each and every one here, God, so that it flows out, so that there is no hindrance of love. We can be so distracted by so many things. You just want that love. We would just want to be a conduit, God. You just want to drop that love in us and send it right out through our eyes, through our actions, through our motions, God. I pray, I release just a walking of love that is going to come through your people, Lord. We release it. Love conquers all. This is what the world needs. They need to see the real, true unadulterated love of God. And I release that in the name of Jesus.
My precious, precious girl, you have done well. You have spoken my truths as I give them to you. And each one shall return not void. Each one shall be activated by my spirit. And this is a receiving people. So know that I'm proud of you. I'm so, so proud of you. I know it took courage today, but you've come forth valiantly. And you shall be rewarded, precious girl.
What is happening right now is a prophetic stream of unveiling. It started as soon as we hit 2024. Things were happening before, but as soon as we hit 2024, things shifted. And this is not just a shift for Firestorm, a small group of people here. This is a global shift, and it's happening. Firestorm, First Fruits, the Take the Lid Off, all these things are happening together. But what I want you to really observe is what happened in the last few weeks about what was God saying about identity, what was he saying about positioning, who he is, who we are, and there is a series of revelations and messages that are coming. If you didn't get Melanie's, get Melanie's before next week.
Yeah.
If you're online and you didn't catch today, somehow get today. This is a series. I am dumbfounded by the careful, exact stitching together of the terms. When you get to the end of this, you're going to hear the same terms brought through different vessels with different pieces of emphasis. This is a message for the global church, and I'm sure people are preaching it elsewhere, but we are giving an opportunity to take a torch and ignite. So Melanie started this official stream. This is carrying it on. Dale's going to, Melinda's coming next week. And it's all going to take this same theme until we finally start to believe, I guess I really am that.
Come on now.
And what happens, because what we are talking about, God is saying, where are we headed? Did you hear those words today?
Yeah.
Those words came out before. Melanie said, where are we headed? Dale said, I know where we're headed. And following Dale, I'm going to give a two-part message that I started 5 years ago, and it answers two questions. I didn't know what Dale was doing or what God was going to say. Guess what the questions are? Where are we headed, and how do we get there from here? This is a God move. It is not a doctrinal thing per se. It is a relationship thing. He wants us to finally know who we are because the world needs to see. If whatever you've got planned, if you can catch this thread somehow, this is what's happening in the earth now.
And I want to say that this is hard for me to say, but it's a real truth that the Lord has given me. Not long ago, just a few days ago, as I was praying and preparing, and because I wanted to make sure it was all from the Lord. It's like
I don't want to be seen. I want Jesus to be seen and lifted up in everything I do, everything I say. And I've asked the Lord over and over for years, I want to fulfill my destiny. What is my destiny? And the Lord spoke to me a while back when I said, why did you have to bring Don home? And he said, because he's a general in the army that I'm building in heaven. At the same time, I'm building an army on the earth. And you weren't ready. You are part of that army, but you're not ready. And so I realized, this may sound really strange, so please just let the Lord interpret it for you. I realized that Don had to go away to do what God called him to do in the heavenly realm in order for me to step into my destiny.
Hey, that's right.
And I would have never, ever thought that, but it's true.
Yeah.
And so Virginia prophesied over me, and then also, oh, he's from Florida. Help me remember.
Jimmy Kellett.
Yeah. There were several things said to me. They're all saying the same thing. And now I'm walking in what God did speak to me through those wonderful, obedient sister and brother in the Lord. And like I said, that's a hard thing for me to say. But I know he's smiling because he's like, yes, you go, girl, you go. Anyway, I want to make sure that we have... are you going to play that one last song?
I can if you think I should.
Okay. If we have time, there's one song that Chris learned, especially for me, if she's willing to do it. And it didn't get put in, but it's something I want you to hear, and then we can go out with that in our spirit. So we can go out with total joy, that's for sure. But thank you again. I love you all. And
love you.
I'm so thankful to be a part of this wonderful group of believers.
So as you're listening to his song, it's about you. And I don't know it as well as I'd like to, so bear with me.
There is a noise.